Trying again. Morning, everyone, and welcome. Lovely to be with you all in this time. Well, let's have a look at our reading, the reading from Matthew. I wonder what makes you angry? Perhaps not getting your own way, not getting what you want, people ignoring you or not respecting you. Perhaps having to wear face masks or socially distant or stay at home with your freedoms restricted. Seeing others break the rules when you're so carefully keeping them. Perhaps it's more the rich getting richer while the poor get poorer. Perhaps it's injustice or unkindness or greed or complacency. Refugees not cared for. The environment abused. Children badly treated. I wonder what your image of Jesus is like. Is it a gentle Jesus, meek and mild like picture? In the passage that Cliff read to us from Matthew, I think the parable Jesus told and the conversation following make Jesus sound decidedly not well pleased, disappointed, let down, angry. It's certainly not a cosy, encouraging story and conclusion for the Jewish leaders or their people. Jesus is not mincing his words. The kingdom of God will be taken away from you. So what led to that parable? Previously, in chapter 21 of Matthew's Gospel, we've had Jesus entering Jerusalem on a donkey to the shouts of a large crowd. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then we've had Jesus entering the temple, overturning the tables of the money changers and dove sellers, quoting from the Old Testament, "My house will be called a house of prayer." The original Isaiah says, for all nations, a place of joy for all who love the Lord, where all who bring offerings to him will be accepted. But you are making it a den of robbers, Jesus says, quoting Jeremiah. Jeremiah was having a go at the people of Judah who stole and murdered and committed adultery, who slandered people and worshipped other gods, and then turned up to the temple expecting to be welcome and safe. Safe to do such things. God won't tolerate such hypocrisy and evil from those who claim to be his people, and especially from those who claim to lead his people. John Stott says God's anger is a steady, unrelenting, unremitting, uncompromising antagonism to evil in all its forms and manifestations. Matthew 21 goes on to tell of Jesus healing the blind and the lame, which makes the children praise him. But the chief priests and the teachers of the law are indignant. Why are they angry when Jesus is doing good? Do they really think that Jesus is working against God, his Father? Is it that their powerful positions and their popularity and their possessive monopoly on God is being threatened? Jesus then amazes his followers by causing a fruitless fig tree with nothing but leaves on it to wither overnight. Fruit trees are meant to produce fruit. If they don't, they're not fulfilling their purpose. The chief priests and the elders question Jesus's authority. Who sent him? Who empowers him? But in their hearts, they know. And they're afraid to challenge Jesus because the people recognize John the Baptist and Jesus as prophets. Lastly, immediately before the story we heard today, Matthew's author tells a parable of two sons who were asked by their father to go and work in the vineyard. The first one says, yeah, I'll go, but then he doesn't. The second one says he won't go, but then he does. And Jesus clearly explains who the two sons represent. The proud religious leaders who claim to be obedient sons of God are the first sons. They started off well, supposedly, but they failed to hear their need for forgiveness and receive a new start, to walk in the way of righteousness, a righteousness through faith in Christ. They are no longer doing the Father's will. They're not working in the vineyard and producing its fruit. The tax collectors and prostitutes, on the other hand, started off doing wrong. But then they heard the words of John the Baptist calling them to repentance. And so they changed their minds and they stopped doing wrong and they decided they would walk in God's ways, producing the fruit of the kingdom. They've embraced Jesus's offer of a new start. In today's parable, Jesus tells of a landowner planting a vineyard. He protects it with a watchtower and he builds a wall all round it so no one can steal its fruit. He digs a wine press where the grapes can be turned to wine. The landowner set it all up carefully. He's prepared everything needed so the vineyard can be fruitful. Then he leases it out, rents it to some farmers to harvest for him. He entrusts them with it and with its fruit. But at harvest time, instead of giving the landowner the fruit, the tenants beat and kill and stone those sent to collect it. The Jews would have known well the Old Testament stories where God said Israel was his vineyard. Isaiah 5, for example, is very like the passage we've just read. I'll sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up, he cleared it of stones, he planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut a wine press as well. God loves his vineyard. His people, he wants them to flourish. He wants them to have lives full of good actions and therefore joy and peace. He wants them to have a close walk with him. Jesus's listeners would have known also that the servants sent to collect the fruit were meant to be the prophets that God repeatedly sent to help his wayward people be fruitful and come back to him. Those prophets were indeed badly treated down the ages. Those messengers were not just ignored, they were beaten and killed and stoned. God has one last try. Surely, if he sends his son, they will respect him and honour him. Again, Jesus's listeners would have known Jesus was calling himself God's son, saying he was sent by the Father. And Jesus says they will take this son, they will throw him out of the vineyard outside Jerusalem, and they will kill him. They want the son's inheritance for themselves. They don't want to give it back to God. They don't want to share it with all people and all nations as God intends. Jesus then asks his listeners, what will the owner of the vineyard do? And the chief priests and elders of the Jewish people pronounce their own judgment. He'll bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he'll give the vineyard to other tenants. How true this proves to be. Paul later, likewise, constantly in each place he goes, takes the gospel into the Jewish synagogues and is rejected. And so with sadness for his own people, he moves on to the Gentiles. Sometimes we're blind to our wrongdoing, clouded by our prejudices. And it takes someone to come along and present things in a different way for us to realise what we're doing. When King David sleeps with another man's wife and then gets him killed in battle to cover up what he's done wrong, it takes a story from the prophet Nathan to bring him to his senses. A rich man feeds the only lamb of a poor neighbour to a visitor instead of using one of his own many cattle and sheep. God always tries to reach us and bring us back to himself. David recognises his wrong. He writes a psalm of repentance, Psalm 51, to God. He receives forgiveness and life. He receives a restored relationship with God. There are consequences from his actions, but he goes on to shepherd, to lead Israel in close communion with God and walking in his ways. The religious leaders who've just heard our story, on the other hand, hear this parable. They know Jesus is talking about them, but they still seek to kill him. Initially, their fear of the people's regard for Jesus as a prophet stops them. But in the end, they have Jesus crucified. We began by talking about anger. It's not always wrong to be angry. As we've heard, God is angry about certain things. And here he's angry that those he's entrusted with his message of love, his vineyard, his kingdom, keep it for themselves. They don't show its fruit. They don't live out its love. They don't recognise that all of us need the action of God's Son, Jesus, to restore our relationship with God, a right relationship with him. They stop others entering the kingdom rather than helping them come in. God's anger is not unpredictable and petty and disproportionate. It's just and measured. The Jewish leaders pronounce what they know to be the right action from the owner of the vineyard. If the tenants don't give the vineyard's fruit to the owner, they don't share it. If they don't take responsibility according to the privileges given them, then they can't expect to continue as tenants. God has not hidden his anger and buried it and ignored the things that are causing it. It's a just anger and he's addressed it honestly. The removal of the vineyard comes only after repeated attempts to reach out with many messengers and ultimately his son, his own beloved son, it says in Mark and Luke. And Jesus didn't just come to confront them and us with our wrongdoing, but he takes it upon himself. He chooses to be the sacrifice that can restore us all to right relationship with the Father. Jesus, the Lamb of God, dies to take away the sin of the world. Thankfully, though, the cross is not the end of the story. Jesus doesn't just die. He is raised back to life and exalted to the right-hand side of his Father. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. Our passage goes on to describe him as the cornerstone, the capstone. On him, everything stands. In him and through him, all things are held together. He's conquered all evil. He's restored all people who turn to him back into relationship with his Father, back into the kingdom where he is the king. Those who stumble over that cornerstone, Christ, will be broken because there's no help in anyone else. Those who willfully persist in evil, not recognizing their need of God's mercy, will on the day of judgment be crushed by him. The owner of the vineyard will not see his vineyard perish, his world ruined. He will find a people that respond to him and will produce the kingdom's fruit. But the driving force for all God does is not anger, it is love. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. So where are we in our relationship with God, with Jesus? Many of us have been entrusted with the truths of the gospel. We're called to bear its fruits in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruits that will bring others into the kingdom. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit." So I pray that we will walk in Christ. We will be fruitful tenants of the vineyard, and we will reflect the never-ending love of the one who calls us.